Thank you that we can come together. Thank you, Lord, that your spirit is with us. And Lord, thank you that if we are listening to you, Lord, you guide us into all truth. And you set us free from all bondages. And you give us complete victory in all the areas of our lives. And so today, as we come together, Lord, we ask you that your word may be, Lord, given life so that we may be able to receive it and, Lord, bring it to pass in our life, in our experience, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, sometimes people talk about the Holy Spirit as a theological thing. It's not a theological thing. It's the living God down on earth in us, dwelling in us with for a purpose to do certain things, to make possible certain things that are not possible in any other way. And he is the only one that is going to be able to implement it. And so we had to connect with him and realize the importance of Jesus that he gave to the Holy Spirit. And the purpose that we came was not just to forgive our sins, but to release the Holy Spirit so that he could send it back to us and he could be operating in our lives so that we can continue his work on earth until he comes back again. We have to realize that this is the things that really made the difference. This is why, you know, the idea of the firstborn, of many brothers, is the key things that he was trying to achieve. Now, you know, we said already, you know, how important this is and how the Holy Spirit dwells in us and that we have to become aware of this indwelling. That he is there all the time. If we feel him or if not. It doesn't matter. It's not a question of feeling. It's a question of reality. It's a question of faith. It's a question of believing that he's there and he's ready to perform whatever is needed at the moment. See, with that attitude, we are able to release him through our actions. And he's going to, you know, and the way he's going to do it is many different ways. He's going, first of all, to teach us the things that we need to understand. He's the one who's going to illuminate to us the scripture so that we can actually figure out what they say. You know, I realized how important that is. Because lots of people give too much importance education and preparation, although that's something that we need to have. But they depend on erudition instead of the Holy Spirit. So, you know, when it comes to interpret the scripture, they go to the concordance, not just the concordance, you know, the dictionary of languages, you know, like Greek and Hebrew. And they try to use, you know, that as the, the code to interpret the scripture. Without understanding that language is not rigid. That when you speak your own language, you can use the same word with different meanings. So you cannot take a one-to-one relationship between a word in Greek and the translation that you had to apply to it. And the only way to discern the thing is not to see the things that was used most often. Because some things that are used most often in one sentence are not really the meaning that you attribute when you are speaking in a specific situation. Are you following me? So you had to be really, no matter what, you know, material you go back to try to get information, you had to still depend on the Holy Spirit to make a decision. Oh, really, is that right? Or is this is the thing that should be interpreted? Or is something else that should be seen in that? Do you understand what I'm saying? So the Holy Spirit is the key. It's not, you know, the big volume of information that you get. Sometimes, you know, too much information doesn't help you to make the right decision. You can be swamped by information and end up making the wrong decision because you got confused instead of helped. Anyway, he's the one teaching us. He's the one bringing us to whole truth. And we have to learn to depend on him. We have to learn to connect with him. Because he's the only way that we are going to know the truth. There is no other way. It's not by a lexicon that we are going to know the truth. Then, you know, he's the one who's going to testify. I mean, he's going to give us the inside nudging, but he's going to also work through us so that we become witnesses. In a wise way, not in, you know, you can be a witness in a silly way and get yourself in trouble and get nowhere. So that the enemy gets you out of the way. You have to use wisdom in the way the Holy Spirit guides you, because he is the one imparting wisdom. It's not religion. It's not your doctrine necessarily that is going to guide you, because the situations vary, change, depending on things, and you had to have the wisdom what to do at that time at a particular situation with those circumstances. And there is no general rule for that. You had to depend on God. And you had to learn to depend on God. And he's going to give you the path that you had to take, no matter what complicated, you don't need to know the information. You need to have the connection. You know, he said last week, you know, he's going to convict people of sin and of righteousness and so on, and judgment. You know, the Holy Spirit should not convict you. If you're a born-again believer, you should be listening to the Holy Spirit, and he's not going to convict you because you are following him already. If you are not following him straight up, so that he doesn't need to convict you, he wants to guide you, not convict you. He says to convict, the word says there, you know, to convict the world, not you. If you are connected with him, you are not going to be need to for that kind of things. Even just a question of adjusting your path. So, finally, you know, he's there to equip you for any situation that you get in. I mean, he's there to enable you to deal with whatever things come your way. Now, some people say, oh, yes, but, you know, I'm in trouble now. Well, you have to see what that means in practical way. You have to see why that happens. You have to see how these things develop. You know, to be able to, for him to do, equip you for every situation, he has to be working in you. And you have to be obeying and participating in what he wants you to do. because he's not going to fix all your mistakes. He may fix your mistakes when you come to realize that I was wrong. You know, if you bang against the wall, there is a reason. Evidently, you're going in the wrong direction. Because if you will be listening, he would have told you before, don't go that way, go the other way, and it's going to be no problem. The thing is, sometimes we are so caught up in our goal, in our ideas, in our things that we are going to do, even for God, that we are really not God doing God work. We are doing our own ideas, implementing it. And we had to come to realize that because it's going to make a whole difference in the type of results we are going to get. I mean, I'm not saying that. You just see the scripture, what they say. For example, you know, in John chapter 5, verse 24 says, most assuredly. You know, when it says that means, you know, it's just like, this is the truth. This is the way it is. Okay, you know, we get used to some way of saying, but this is really, you know, he's promising us when he says something like that. I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. So there is no, you know, we shouldn't be, if we are following the word, we should not come under condemnation or judgment of any type. Now, what we had to learn is to walk by the word. If we don't know the word, then we are going to be going around blind, and God is good enough to understand and to know that. Okay, but still, sooner or later, we're going to be in trouble. And then we're going to say, why that happened, God? See, this is, if you remember the Holy Spirit, what does he do? He brings to remembrance what he said. So when we, instead of saying, oh, you know, just keep pushing, you know, it's no use for a fly to bang against the glass trying to get through. It's not going to get through. Don't have the brain of a fly. Yeah, given we knew much more abilities and much more support, so that you can actually make the right decision. You know? He said, when we got in a situation like that, you know, Hebrews 4:16 says very clearly, let us therefore, I mean, when it's therefore, there is a reason for it says therefore, isn't it? It says, come boldly. Doesn't say come begging. It says, come boldly. Because you are actually, you know, but the previous part, the scripture I read before to you must be already implemented. All right? So you are following what God says. You are applying the word. But maybe you just sometimes need to come boldly because you bang against the wall. And then you see? So come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace and the help in time of need. So, you know, there is a problem, there is a thing, you're banging against the wall, you can come boldly if you're obeying the word. Now, if you're obeying the word and you're listening and you are open to listen, then he's going to correct you. He's going to redirect you. Because sometimes it's just a question of redirecting. Okay? You know, this is sad, but you know what? In Matthew chapter 7, it talks about some things that we should always remember. You know, verse 21 says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. That means, you know, one who does the word. See, what we had to do the word to be able to achieve the results we are trying to get. Not doing the word cuts us off immediately. It doesn't matter how much we say Jesus, Jesus, Lord, Lord, or whatever. You know, we're fooling ourselves. It's not our words. It's our actions in response to the direction of the Holy Spirit that makes a difference. We can be fully persuaded of the wrong thing because we have convinced ourselves because we are deceived. You say, oh, can you get deceived? Absolutely. You get deceived because you don't want to hear. You want to hear. You want to hear the other thing. You have each ear to hear what God is saying. That's when you get deceived. Otherwise, you don't. But you know, it's a progression. When the whole thing starts and you're not deceived yet at the beginning, you know that there is a problem. But as you put up resistance, it doesn't take much for a layer of desensitization comes into you and you don't know anymore what is right and what is wrong. And then you go around and say, oh, I'm doing everything. And you're really convinced by your affections or by your desires. That's the way deception comes in. So, you know, that scripture I was telling you is pretty strong, because Jesus was saying, there are many, many who say to me and say, Lord, Lord, have I not prophesied in your name? Cast out demons in your name? Or done many wonders in your name? So the fact that there is power, manifestation, doesn't mean that we are doing everything right. See, why God would use somebody in that condition to do these things? Well, it's not one time, it's not one thing. You see, maybe this person once was actually listening. But then things get in the way and he's not listening anymore. Well, the gifts of God are without repentance. You can see some ministers that were used by God and they got off tangent. Did they stop the ministry that they had? No. Why? Because God doesn't care about them, care more about the people they need to receive. I mean, there are so few that are actually doing anything that, you know, he uses anybody that comes. Any donkey that comes, he's just using them. Doesn't mean that they're right. So the fact that somebody does something is not, you know, somebody that gets resolved doesn't mean that his theology is right. That's what I'm saying to you. Doesn't mean that what they teach is right. Now God is going to get them in his own time. We can see in history. Praise the Lord. And you know, this is talking about people that are considered believers. You know, here it says, you know, and I will declare to them, never knew you. Depart from me, you practice lawlessness. Therefore, whoever hears these things of mine and does them, I will like them in a wise man who built a house on the rock. You know, the one that the other house that was built on the sand is the one that actually doesn't do it. See, there is just that element. Obedience is essential. Not just for, you know, I mean, you can even get results, but if you are not obedient, you're going to get yourself in trouble. I could mention many well-known ministers used by God supernaturally, but they didn't listen. I wouldn't want to be in their place. All right. Let's move on here. So, when we are in a situation, we have to be in faith. We have to be following the word. So, first of all, we have to know the word. I mean, that's why, you know, we should spend all the time that we can in the word. That's the only way for us to be able to connect with the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is not going to put to our remembrance anything that we don't already have seen somewhere or another. So we need to have the Word. That's our reference point. That is the way we determine what is the right direction, or was there really the Holy Spirit or not, because he's not going to disagree with himself. God doesn't change. Today doesn't tell you this is right, and tomorrow says, no, this is wrong. All right? So when we knew, you had to trust that he's going to help us, that we can ask the Holy Spirit, that he's there to give us the direction. And then, you know, you apply James 1:5, very simple. If you lack wisdom, I mean, what is wisdom? Wisdom is the ability to know what to do in the specific situation you are in now, at the moment. So if you don't know what to do, don't go around and say, I don't know what to do. Because that's not faith. See, that doesn't please God. That's not based on scriptures either. Because the scriptures very simply say, if you lack wisdom, do this. Let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally. Can you say liberally? You know what that means? Yeah. So, you know, it means that you are not there saying, well, you know, is he going to give it to me or not? See, you ask in faith. That means you are sure that you are going to have the answer. You are not there saying, you know, well, maybe, you know, I'm confused. Yeah, you are. If you say that, you are. I give it to all liberally without reproach, and he will give it him. But let us ask in faith, not doubting. For he who doubts is like the wave in the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. Let him not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He's a double-minded man, unstable in all his way. We don't need to be unstable. We believers need to be stable. We need to be based on the house built on the rock. When our house is built on the rock, it doesn't matter the wind that comes our way, we are going to stand. It may be a moment of time in which we need to go and say, so, you know, what do I have to do? But that's fine. Because we don't need to be perfect. And sometimes we misunderstood certain things. But that is very different from the fact that you say, I don't want to do it. Ask in faith. Now, if you ask in faith, what does it say here? You're going to get the information. You're going to get the direction. Okay. Now, the thing is, you know, it can be very different from you and somebody else. Because you are not in the same situation and you are not the same person. And you are not the same ability of stuff. So, you know, your solution for you may be slightly different than somebody else, but it's going to always to align with the Word. So, then the next step is to act on what you got. You can't say that you are doing what God tells you to do if you are not acting on what he has directed you to do. If it's comfortable or it's not comfortable, doesn't make any difference. You see, it's not a question. God is not trying to make you feel comfortable. There is no place in the Bible that he says, you know, he's going to be giving you comfortable. He says he'll give you peace. But you, sometimes peace comes because you do things that are really uncomfortable. Because your flesh doesn't like to do them, but your heart is at peace because you know that this is God's will for you. Are you following me? I mean, this is pretty hard message, but the point is, you can sugarcoat everything. And that's the problem with Christianity today. Everything is sugarcoated. You know, everything is the American dream. I'm sorry. It's not, Christianity is not American. Anyway, all right. So, James chapter 1, verse 21 says there, you know, therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness. That means, you know, simply abundance of weakness, you know, doing the wrong thing. Okay? That should be pretty evident. Okay? And that's, but, where am I? Yeah. And receive with meekness the implanted word. That means, you know, you are not going to say, yes, but, you know, that's not the way I think it. Now, it's interesting that to receive, I always, when it comes to receive, I always bring up the Greek. You know, it says generally receive is lambano, you take. But this is not take. This is not lambano. This is very interesting because it's a completely different situation. It's not that you are taking a promise. You see, when you take a promise, it's a due that you had to actually take that to bring it to pass. Here is not, the word here is a completely different word. It's dekomai. And dekomai means to accept, to receive something offered to you. So you see, lambano is an active taking hold of something. Here is a passive taking it that is given to you and you had to take it. Do you see the difference? You see, say, take the word. I mean, that means that the word, in one case, you know, you see the word, for example, I am the Lord that healeth you, and you take that, you know, as a promise. But here it says, you know, when the word says in something else, you know, change your life in this particular area, it's not that you had to take that, you had to accept that. You see the difference? You see, in one case, it's something you want. In the other case, it's something that you really may resist a bit. Are you following me? So, take, receive with meekness. That means, you know, don't be stubborn. Don't be fixed in your own thing. Listen. The implanted word, which is able to save your soul. That's the way you do that. See, that's what the salvation of our soul is actually, you know, our deliverance from the world. All the things that comes in the world, that's those things we have to overcome. And so it goes on, says, but be doers of the word. You know, it's everything. Well, we like to be doers of the word when we have to take something from God that he promised to us. But here it's referring to not when you have to take something from God, is when you have to obey something for God, from God, that you actually may not want to obey. Because your passions, your desire, pull you in the other direction. You know, you can't preach the gospel in one side only. You have to preach both sides. The whole truth. Otherwise, half truth is not truth. It's a lie. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. You see the way the deception comes to the one that, you know, almost the elect can get? All right. See, this is, you see, that's the way it starts with the power of God, because that's the way, you know, you get to the place where you have God's anointing in you, but, you know, one has to keep there. And the problem is sometimes when the power comes, people lose track. And they think that they are more than they think that they do it, when instead it's not them. It's God working through them. Okay. So the first things we had to do, and we cannot do it today. So maybe to resolve the problem, you have to come next week. Okay, but the next thing you have to do is really to see yourself the way that God sees you in all the different. See, you have to accept your identity. See, accepting your identity means that you start acting the way the word says you act. The word says you are righteous. It doesn't mean only that you put yourself a label on front on your forehead, says, I'm righteous. No, it is your actions, what you do, are righteous actions. If it says that, you are loving, it's not that you say, I like you, and you like me. That's nothing to do, it's not mushy Christianity. Loving sometimes requires tough words to straighten up somebody that's off a tangent. Okay? Love is that you care enough that you don't mind being rejected. Well, about seeing yourself and about how to implement this part here, we have to talk about next week because it just opened up a big, interesting thing to talk about. How this happens inside us when we go to the Word. Because it's the Word, again, you see, everything goes back there. Everything goes back to not our feelings, but to the Word. Because it's the Word that has the power to change us. It's the Word that has the power to correct us. It's the Word that has the power to enable us to see good from wrong, from bad. Praise the Lord. I think it's a good idea if I close at the moment because otherwise this is going to be a long discussion. It's going to be taking some time. You get anything today? Praise the Lord. I want to be, it's not a question of feeling bad about things. The Word is to help us, to empower us, to become the people that God wants us to be. But that doesn't happen unless we actually follow God's instruction and God's direction. That's the only way. And so this is where the Word comes into the picture, and we have to allow the Word to do the work that God sent it for. The parts that we like and the parts that we don't like. You know, the way everybody says, I'm a Bible believer. And, you hear them talking, you see how much of the Bible they took off that they don't believe. And the one that they left there. Everybody is a Bible. I mean, all churches says, we are Bible believing church. But somebody, who's speaking in tongues, you don't need to do that. I mean, half of, one third of the New Testament talks about it, but that doesn't matter. Well, you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You get saved. I'm sorry. You are rejecting what God has said. Oh, you can take lots of things that people just don't like to follow, and they think that they're following God. Anyway. Praise the Lord. That's if they like it or not, the Word is the Word. And either it's true or it's a lie. If it's a lie, then you can throw away the whole thing. But if it's true, you better do the whole thing. Not just what you like. Not just what is convenient for you. Praise the Lord. I think we should just close with a prayer. We should pray together. Amen? All right. Heavenly Father, thank you for what Jesus did for us. He did not just give a bit of himself. He gave everything he had. so that we can have everything that he had. And we thank you for that. And we ask you, Lord, that your Holy Spirit that we received in ourselves may guide us to see what is missing in our lives in following your directions. Lord, I thank you, for I know that the only thing I have to do is to ask, and I will receive. This is because this is your promise. And I thank you for the promise. And I come before you right now for any situation in my life for which I need help. And boldly, I ask you for your help, for your wisdom, for your ability to overcome all things according to your promises. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.